listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Yes! That can only mean one thing, ladies and gentlemen. The president of the Cleveland Browns has graced us here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, Mr. Alex Shiner, in attendance. Mr. Shiner, good to be with you, Press.
It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. It's been way too long.
It has been. I took a little sabbatical from the show.
I know, which was hurtful, but we're going to try not to take it too personally. By the way, rumors continue to persist about a presidential pod. Any updates on that?
You know what? NPR has approached me after the show Serial. I don't know if you guys heard of that podcast. So I'm going to do a podcast, but probably not with you, Nathan.
Not with me. Better talent.
Right.
I mean, you should.
Sarah Koenig.
I love it. All right, just before we get into everything, I know you're talking about the stadium and phase two of the renovations down there at First Energy Stadium. Let's talk about the season in general. Obviously, great start. Didn't finish maybe the way you wanted, but with a first-year head coach, first-year GM to get to 7 wins, what was your kind of overall feeling coming out of this season?
I think you're always looking to make progress, and I think you can look back on this year and say we made some progress. We're not where we want to be. I mean, our owner says it all the time. Ray says it all the time. Pet does. I do. We want to win. 7 wins isn't enough. On the other hand, if you look at our season versus the previous seasons, you look at our 1-53, you look at the roster, and you just say, okay, where's this team headed? We've laid a foundation for success. And in the NFL and probably other sports too, you've got to kind of take a few steps before you have the ultimate success. It doesn't come quickly. We want it to, but it doesn't.
It doesn't. And in this offseason already, you know, you guys are continuing to take steps towards that success on the offensive side of the ball, decisions made there. What can you tell me about the update on the search for the offensive coordinator? How soon do you expect to maybe have that done and kind of get that plan in place? Because obviously the defense seems to be very much set in stone.
You know, I always tell people that the best searches are the ones where you actually do a search. A lot of people do searches, but they've already made up their mind. I thought when we did a search last year for a head coach, we went in open-minded. And I thought we found the best coach available for the Cleveland Browns. And I know that Coach Pettin and Ray and Jimmy are doing the same kind of search right now for a coordinator. Take your time, be patient, and you'll find the best candidate.
I know the one thing for me, from the time that I started and the little that I did know as a player following the Cleveland Browns, is everyone's been saying the culture change, the culture that has changed around here. And I believe it started at the top when Jimmy became the owner and what you've implemented, the new coaching staff. But I just feel like I love hearing the coach speak and that same thing exuberating from the locker room just kind of shows that everybody's on the same page. And I think that's a lot of the reason why, yes, 7 wins is not enough, but it's a huge step in the right direction.
The great thing about Coach Pettin is we interviewed the guy who we got. Right, so when we interviewed Coach Pettin, he was the same exact guy you've heard through the season, the same guy the players hear. And I think that's really important in the NFL. Matt, you could probably speak to it more than I can. But I think, like, he's tough, he's to the point, he's really smart, he's not afraid of being direct. And you get that in the interview with him, you get it when you're in meetings with him, and then players get it. And I think over time, that'll help enforce the culture we've set here.
And certainly play like a Brown. That's the culture that they want to instill. Talking with team president Alex Shiner. Now, I know you are here to talk about the stadium. Phase one, obviously, I thought was a huge success. It was a different place. The boards looked great. The crowd was electric this year. What did you feel about the successes of phase one? And then we'll get into phase two.
Feel really good about phase one. Kevin Griffin and his group do a really good job of reaching out to our fans, trying to find out, okay, what are we supposed to do to make the fan experience better? We did a lot of that before the construction started. And then phase one, I thought we nailed it, right? People wanted video boards. They wanted a new audio system, better ways to get around the stadium, better ways to get into the stadium. I think we knocked all of those things out of the ballpark. And I thought the really nice thing about phase one, we created a better home field advantage for the team. So we had coaches who were with us the year before, who were with another team last year. They came into our stadium and said, gosh, this place is so much louder. Part of it was adding the seats in the lower bowl. Part of it was the massive video boards that kind of enclosed the stadium.
Yep.
But we had a real home field advantage last year, and it was exciting.
It definitely was. It was for me, having played here, you know, prior to the phase and throughout my career. And I will say this, having played San Diego, San Francisco, Green Bay, it's the game day experience is significantly different from any place that I've been. You know, the amount of interaction, you know, with the fans, with the banners, you know, swagger, that you've got the live mascot, so many steps in the right direction for me as a former player. Thought it was really cool and engaged me, you know, into the culture that is changing here as the Cleveland Browns.
I love that. I love hearing from our players, our former players, because that means the most. I'll tell you something really cool is that you're in our stadium now, and then you go to other stadiums in AFC North, and I feel like, you know what? We might have the best stadium.
You're right.
And definitely so better than Cincy and Pittsburgh.
We didn't feel that way.
Definitely.
And then after Phase 2, which we can talk about in a second, I think we will have the best. And so it's nice. The year before, we traveled to 8 away games or 10 away games, including preseason, and we were probably the worst stadium of the 10, and I think we're moving all the way up the ranks now.
Absolutely, and Phase 2 is going to have a lot of fun features for the fans in terms of food, in terms of areas that they can entertain themselves, and also just kind of window dressing of the stadium itself, both inside and outside. Talk about some of the highlights there.
So it's like a house. Phase 1 was the exterior of the house, and Phase 2 is the interior, and no one had touched the exterior or interior for about 16 years at First Energy Stadium.
Wow.
So Phase 2 will be about $50 million spent on upgrading every internal area of the stadium. Our concourses, our club areas, our suite areas, even the areas kind of below the main concourses, we're going to do some pretty cool things. Probably the most important thing we'll do for our fans is bring local chef concepts throughout all
Love
of the
it.
Concourses. You know this, Nathan. I like food.
I know.
Good restaurants.
As do I.
And so I don't feel like you should waste any areas. We should not have generic concession stands in our stadium. We don't need to. And so this will be the first time all of our fans get to experience chefs like Sawyer and Rocco and Michael Simon. It's coming throughout the entire concourse.
Now, Alec, where does that inspiration come from? Only, you know, your history, of course, in Dallas with Jerry and I'm sure in some cases on the project that is now AT&T Stadium and Jerry World. And I think that kind of set precedence of – you know, what a stadium should look like and feel like, especially when it comes to spending money. But where did the inspiration come from? Was it other stadiums and kind of picking little pieces along with some creative genius that goes into what we're going to do here in Phase 2?
I think the first thing, Matt, is you say to yourself, do we have to be a stadium? And that was the first question Jerry asked. Why do I have to have spaces that look like every other space? Why do I have to have food that you only find in a stadium? So once you're starting to ask that question, then you can borrow from anything.
Sure.
So if you go to AT&T Stadium in Arlington, it looks more like a W than it looks like Lambeau Field.
Yep.
I'll tell you just one anecdote from how you figure these things out. About 11 years ago, I knew a guy who was COO of the Detroit Pistons. And he said, hey, do you want to come up to a game? So I went up to a game, and he showed us these bunker suites they had at the time.
Uh-huh.
And Kevin Garnett walks right by us while we're in the bunker suite. And I was like, well, does that always happen? He said, our bunker suites, the players walk by before they go on the court. That was the inspiration
for that
sideline club in Dallas.
Wow.
And now in Phase 2 of this renovation, we're going to create a space right outside the player tunnel that used to be kind of where the field crew was.
Uh-huh.
And now the players walk literally right outside, and that'll be one of our coolest spaces.
So that'll be a space down there. Also, the outside of the stadium looks like there will be renderings of players past and present, just honoring the heritage of the Cleveland Browns.
It'll be our Mount Rushmore. It'll be you, Vic,
Victor,
Wilhelm, maybe.
He's not yet.
What about
yet.
The kid?
Not
there yet.
What about the
yes.
kid?
And maybe Kevin Jones. Those would be the
Kevin Jones. Yes. Because he had such a strong performance yesterday on the show.
That's part of it, and also his Twitter presence.
He did decline yesterday. He was throwing out names of people in the office that he could beat up in his mind with his quote-unquote man strength. He threw your name out there, but then declined to fully go all the way through with it because you were, as he said, at the vice president level. So so I think he was being tactical there.
Well, also just factually incorrect.
Factually correct, yes. We all know that. Yeah. You take that finger and just, bam, smack him around with it.
I have one additional question. And again, it's as a former player, is there any inclination of potentially ever going to field turf and not being a natural grass surface?
It's a really good question. I think when I first got here, we talked about it relative to who your coach might be. And you appreciate that as a player.
Absolutely.
If you can gain a competitive advantage through changing your turf or – you know, in baseball, kind of bringing in the where you hit the home run, things like that. But otherwise, no. I mean, I think the grass is something that makes us unique.
Sure.
Our crew, these guys do an amazing job with our grass. I think every year it's rated the best grass in the NFL. So unless there's some reason competitively to do it, I don't see us doing it.
And they keep their sunglasses low and tight or not on at all at the stadium right there. Can't have them on their forehead. I've heard that's a rule over there at First Energy Stadium.
It's important.
It is important. Now, let's talk about something else that fans are – I know they're excited about the stadium, Phase 2. Phase 1, obviously a huge success. But I get more questions about the uniforms than anything. When can we see the uniforms? When do you expect them to be unveiled?
Well, have you seen the uniforms, Nathan?
No, because you hold that over me and lord it over me and tell me all the time that I cannot
see
the uniforms.
Can I see them? Of course. Yeah.
Thank
just come
you.
By my
okay,
office right
I will.
After this.
3:15.
The uniforms will be unveiled before the draft for sure. All the decisions have now been made. So we've gone to Portland a few different times. We've worked with the NFL. We're excited about the uniforms.
You know I love uniforms. Why can't I see the uniforms?
You know, as
funny, do I. Everyone loves uniforms.
And I love Nike.
These are going to be cool uniforms. I think.
What can you tell us about them?
Here's what I can say. I think we have struck the balance between linking back to the tradition of the Browns and also pushing the Browns forward. And I think our players will love them. We've had a couple players who have seen them, and I think they've loved them. I think it'll be exciting. And I think it'll go forward. Matt talked about our culture here, and we started this process a year and a half ago. But in our mind, we thought we're going to become a different team, and this will reflect it.
I was a part of a uniform change in San Diego when we went from the navy helmets to the white helmets. You know, they added more yellow. The powder blues were more like they weren't the throwback uniform.
Alternate.
They were more of an alternate uniform, and that is part of the culture change, and it changed us. We were a team that Marty Schottenheimer got us to a certain point, but the change of uniform and a change in culture, and to know that ownership and management is investing in you and the resources, talking about the renovations at the stadium, talking about it makes it fun. You know, Nike makes it fun because of their creative genius. And, you know, you walk in there excited about what's next. And so if I was one of the guys on the roster that did not know what they look like, I'd be, well, asking you, of course, who they are to eke out any information that I could, because I want that look to be excited about what's coming. And of course, for you guys, I'm sure the reason why before the draft, you want whoever is drafted holding up that beautiful new jersey on draft day in Chicago.
Smart businessman, Matt Wilhelm.
You know, I think one thing I tell people, and this is not to demean any other teams in the NFL, I do think this is probably the most important uniform change there's ever been, because there's never been a team with our history that's had a uniform change, you know, in the modern era.
It would be like if the Steelers really changed their uniforms.
That's exactly right. So if you think of the teams that recently have done it, you've got the Buccaneers and the Jags and the Vikings to a very small degree and the Dolphins to a small degree.
Yep.
But no one with our tradition and history. And so that's what makes it really exciting for us.
Is there an introduction of a new color?
I'm not going to answer that.
You're not answering.
I would
I'm not
say that was a yes.
You're not answering.
I'm
is
not
an answer.
Answering any questions. Yeah, I told you I'm not going to give you any details.
Why can't I
feels feels like a yes?
Why can't I see the uniforms? I'm on the Mount Rushmore. I mean, I'd rather. Quite frankly,
it's
if
because
I can't,
you're
watch,
on it.
Watch me set myself up to
it's
get.
It's because you're
Mount
on it
Rushmore.
That you can't know. I'm not on it. Which is why I'm going
to. I feel
know.
Like I'm as a member of Mount Rushmore, I should get to see him. Which means now you're going to take me off Mount Rushmore.
Well,
which
what
is
do you
fine.
Think is the threshold issue for us showing someone something that no one else can find out about?
If they are in the media or not.
Or trustworthy.
I am trustworthy. Have I not known things that I have not shared?
I have no idea.
You don't know?
No comment.
All right. Well, how can I earn your trust? Is there anything, is there an exercise that I can go through to earn the trust to see the uniforms prior to the unveiling?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing. There's nothing you can do to see the uniforms.
Life goes fast. It'll be here before you know it.
You'll see them when the rest of the world does. Follow me on Twitter.
@Shiner_Alec. All right. If there is one thing you want to see happen for the Cleveland Browns in the year 2015, what is it?
I just want us to win. That's how we all feel here. There's no one in this building who isn't obsessed with that. And we got a little bit of a taste, right? We were 7-4, and it felt good. And
sure
we could feel the passion of the city and our fans. We've got to win more. And we've got, 2015, we've got to start.
What is the most critical thing to the Browns winning?
God, the NFL is such an incredible business this way. It's so hard to predict. You know, if you look at even this year and you look at a team like the Cowboys and where people before the season thought they'd be and where they ended up, I think there's some cohesiveness that has to happen. I think the continuity will help us. And you need some breaks. You know, we had a couple games this year where it's a few small breaks, and all of a sudden you're 8-4 or 9-4, and everything feels different. And, you know, when it goes the other way, then it can spiral a little bit. And so I think all those things come into play. And, of course, you got to keep upgrading your roster. And Ray's going to do a great job of that. I'm not worried about it. We have 10 picks in the draft, more than anyone right now. That's more ammunition than anyone right now. We have the second most cap space, I think, in the league.
That's right.
That's more ammunition than anyone right now.
All right. There he is, the president of the Cleveland Browns, Alex Shiner, a man who will not tell me what the uniforms are like, which makes me sad, but I'll find out with the rest of you. And again, follow him on Twitter, @Shiner_Alec. He's very interactive on Twitter, as a matter of fact, so hit him up, the president. Play him out with his music. Gibbs, can we play him out with that? It's out. No, you can't be played out with your music because you didn't show me the uniforms. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's
maybe
fine.
Next time.
Let's get some exit music for me.
It's coming right now. Here it is. Pull it up. There it is.
Is that Beyonce?
I don't know. Is it? I don't know. It's not presidential. Although you do like the show The Wire. Thank you. You're welcome. All right, we'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford right after this.
Thank you, guys.
Intentionally, you know it's hard to hear.